Morphin Legacy Radio is back with a brand new beat.
The world is very lucky to have you, and so am I.
Pumping all of your favorite Power Rangers and Super Sentai music 24/7.
Okay, Power Rangers, let's do it!
Morphin Legacy Radio!
We're back, and badder than ever.
Morphin Legacy presents The Creep.
Victor, a true Dino Charge Ranger, never lets go of his shovel.
Adam, for the love of Riley, I mean Ranger.
Cody, my sarcasm is gluten-free.
Ray, it's a bomb!
Jay, where's my autograph book? Ha!
Hey Ranger fans, this is Jacob Water 03 from MorphinLegacy.com. Welcome to The Grid, where four gays and a gaffa talk shit about Power Rangers, Super Sentai, and our fandom at large. This is a special episode of The Grid, episode 66, but I won't tell you the title of this episode yet, because that would totally reveal it. So let's not do that. But first, let me introduce my co-host. First, he's the master of the Legacy Databases and vice president of MorphinLegacy.com. Hi, Ray.
Howdy.
How's it going?
I feel quenched because I have a thirst for Dino Charge that has been quenched by all the great news we've been having the past three weeks.
Lots of news to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Later.
Later. next is the boss man over at For the Love of Rangers on Tumblr and Facebook. Hey, Adam.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going. And we got the man behind the modern gaffi. Hey, Victor.
God, Jay, I'm still crying from the demise of Tiny Chat. Why'd you do it? Why'd you do it, man?
Sometimes sacrifices must be made, Stannis Baratheon.
R.I.P.
Spoilers.
Right. Spoiler alert. And last but not least is the commentary kid on YouTube. Hey, Yodi. Yodi. Hey,
Yodi. Who the fuck is Yodi? No, I love it because Ray was all like, made like a long pun about Dino Charge, and Adam was like, hi, how you doing?
We love it. So hey everybody, welcome. As you know, we have some special guests on the show today. We got some people from Ranger Stop and a special guest star that they will reveal as their 18th guest for Ranger Stop. We'll get that into a second. So before we introduce our special guests, all right, so first up, let's introduce our boys from Ranger Stop. We got three guests this time. First, we're welcoming back Mikey, or Michael. Hey. And we also Hello. Got hey. Mike Valdez and John Sepulveda.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the grid. And welcome back to the grid. That too. So, Ranger Stop is the reason why you guys are here, and you're here to introduce a new special guest. Are you, like, that's exciting, right? And you just introduced one today, too. Do you want to talk about that special guest you introduced today first? Or Wednesday Perhaps. You did? I'm sorry.
we had David Fielding come on to RBT's live stream to announce his appearance at Ranger Stop this year, and it was good. He got a chance to answer questions from fans because the stream was live there, and it was nice. He let us know about projects he was working on, obviously, that he's coming to Ranger Stop later this year. And, you know, he shared some things that a lot of people actually didn't know about him. You know, the fact that he's written some books. Some people didn't know that he had written books. And just got to know a little bit more about his experience on the show. And some of the things that, you know, he experienced as a result of the show. And just his return to the fandom. So it was very nice. And, you know, we enjoyed it. And like I said, it was a great chance for people to really get to see more, you know, a different side of him.
And those are the kind of views I like for sure. But like, what for those who didn't listen last time to our guests, we had Catherine and Nakia with you guys last time with Mikey last time. But for those who didn't listen, I don't know why they didn't listen. But for those who didn't listen, you want to tell those listeners about Ranger Stop specifically, like the dates, where it is, what you got going on, just, you know, what we haven't heard.
Ranger Stop 3 will be taking place in Orlando, Florida at the Holiday Inn. That is across from Universal Studios. November 13th through the 15th, and our website is rangerstop.com. We currently have 17 guests announced. We have our 18th on this podcast with us, and we are looking to have 21 guests this year, so
get your tickets. Yeah. And that's very exciting. So should we introduce our special guest? So we have another special guest to introduce our special guest. So here he is to introduce Ranger Stop's next special guest.
Rangers, get your tickets for Ranger Stop 3 in Orlando, Florida, November 13th through the 15th at www.rangerstop.com. Our newest ranger appearing is Aisha, the lovely Karen Ashley.
Everybody, welcome Karen Ashley!
Woo! 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 Oh my god.
Hi, Karen.
Hello, everybody! How's it going?
Oh, it's so great. Welcome to the grid.
I know, I feel so honored to have David Fielding, you know, introduce me. That was pretty amazing.
That's amazing to me, too. I was, like, really excited about that.
I know, right? Official.
So, yeah, you are the official 18th guest of Ranger Stop, right?
Wow. Lucky number 18. Love it. I love it.
And what is so exciting about this is that you're bringing the old Still Canyon back together, gang back together, right?
I know. Mikey's dream is coming true. Hilarious, because we've been making jokes about this all year long about a Stone Canyon reunion. And for those who don't know, Johnny Young Bosch, Steve Cardenas, and myself, our characters went to Stone Canyon when we first got on Power Rangers. And so we were the Stone Canyon alumni until we, you know, kicked them to the curb and became Angel Grove high schoolers, you know. I don't know what we were, but I'm going to assume we were the high schoolers.
Like, you were Stone Canyon defectors. That's what it is.
Yeah, you went to the right side.
I don't even know that place. What are we talking about? Angel Grove for life. Yeah, no, we used to go there, so it's great. It's kind of like a reunion within a reunion, which Ranger Stop is always very fun to do because there's always Rangers. Everything's Ranger, so I love it.
So cool. And now that you're announced, are you doing any special kind of things at your booth or any special events?
You know what? I'm going to just be doing me.
And that's enough.
Kissing babies, hugging people, spreading joy, signing autographs, taking pictures. I don't know. It's a little early yet, so I'm sure I'll think of something. But I'm going to go and have a good time. I'm so happy to see everybody, and hopefully a lot of people come because they always ask about us getting together and getting the band back. And here it is in a sort of a way that, you know, this is a con that is for Power Rangers. So yeah. I strongly urge Power Ranger fans to go to Orlando, you know, in November and come meet us. We'd love to meet you.
And yeah, fantastic. And totally. So I guess we have some questions for you, obviously, because you're here.
Yes.
We couldn't resist. And I know. The first question is for me. Some of my other hosts will have some too. But my first question was, Catherine and Nakia were on our show last week and, you know, they were advertising their guest spots at Ranger Stop. And I asked Catherine specifically about your episode where you and her sang that song Angel in season 3.
Angel Goes High.
Yeah, and she had some things to say, and I wanted to know what were your thoughts about singing that song with her, like just that scene filming it.
Oh my god, it was hilarious because they like built it up. They were like, okay, you guys are going to go to studio. You guys are going to record this song with this producer. It's going to be amazing. And we get there and we absolutely hated the song. And we were just like, out of this, like, what are we doing? What is this? This isn't our style of music. You know, Power Rangers was G-rated, extra cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was like the cheesiest song ever. Mm-hmm. So we finally just got in there, sucked it up. We sang it. And it ended up being like a favorite episode of a lot of people. A lot of people liked us singing. And it was hilarious when we actually had to shoot the scene where we're like on singing. And like the guys were like, you guys actually sound good. And they were like loving the song. And every time we do a take, like the cameras were on us, you know, they'd shoot it one direction. So you would see our reaction and us pretending to play a keyboard, which I do not play, but you know, like to play an instrument. And the whole time, like Jason Frank and David and Johnny and Steve are like dancing like buffoons, trying to make us laugh. And it was just like, we laughed so much that episode. So as much as we hated the song, it actually turned out to be a really experience and a fun memory. But yeah, we were both in the studio like, what the heck? How do we get what out of this? Song?
Yeah, and well, yeah, Catherine didn't like the scarves that you guys wore.
No, like they had a solid matching scarves. I had yellow, of course, and she had on pink. It was just kind of crazy. It was just another way to cheese it up.
Oh yeah, it's all about the cheese. We love it though. I love that cheese.
Yeah, right? That's my saying this year. Power Rangers is G extra cheese.
Our next love question it. Is from our co-host Victor, and it's related to our episode title as well. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
So speaking of Power Ranger cheese. In the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger movie, you had to say a lot of goofy lines. Aisha had some weird funny lines. So how did you feel reacting to just reading and having to say those lines, like the, you know, the boogie with the bear line and stuff like that?
Yeah. I loved it because at least it wasn't, you know, the boring. They kind of wanted the way they wrote the script, they wanted her to be funny. They wanted my character to be funny, and they wanted her to have a lot of one-liners. And a lot of them really stuck. Like, I hear people always talk about Boogie with the Bear and taking care of business. And, you know, it's all these little one-liners that Aisha had. And it's funny because when I actually did it, I was in it was actually an ADR, most of those lines. So it was like, you know, I went into a studio and they were like, okay, here's 20 lines. Just say each one of them. And so it was like, I said, like, 20 different lines. So I didn't know what was going to, you know, be the line or what wasn't going to be the line until I saw the finished product. But it was like I said a million different crazy things. And trust me, I think we got some of the better ones because some of them were really, really, really funny.
I have to say that for sure that Ivan Ooze and Aisha are the top two most quotable characters in that movie.
I'm so serious. It actually kind of set my character apart, and it gave her, you know, and that's what I kind of wanted. I always wanted her to have the opportunity to be more funny. Like, she wasn't, you know, really the girly girl. She was more of a sassy girl, and she would say something off the cuff, and she'd probably make up a saying that was like, sound a boogie with a bear, you know? I mean, that's her thing.
And okay, like, I know me and Ray specifically, that's one reason we love Aisha's character, because that's she was sassy, and love it.
Like, she just hit it straight on. She just went for it.
Our next question is from Cody.
Hello. Let me pull up the script, because I wasn't paying attention.
Way to go.
Okay, I'm sorry. My question is, what was your reaction when you first read the script for the MMPR movie and learned that Aisha was technically the one that took down Ivan Ooze, you know, with the big red button and stuff?
Taking care of business.
Yeah, right?
I was like, dealt the lethal blow to the, you know, private part.
You kind of got the finisher.
I know. You know what's funny? No one talks about that. No one gives Aisha credit for thinking outside the box. You know what? I was very happy. It's funny because the original script is so different from what we ended up shooting. Like, it's like the power of Hollywood. There were a million rewrites in between the first script and the last. But I think that element was in the first script. So it was very cool because I thought, wow, one of the girls is dealing the lethal blow. And that to me was kind of cool, significant, and great for young ladies who were watching the show. It was girl power before girl power was, you know, famous.
Was a thing.
So I loved it. Yeah, right?
And that's, okay, here's a follow-up question, kind of. I wanted to know, how did you feel getting thrust into being on the show right away, and then also being thrust into being the movie right away? How was that transition for you?
It was a lot. I mean, it was definitely a very swift process. Like, we literally, you know, auditioned 4 days later. We were auditioning for producers, and by that afternoon, we had the part. And we also knew at that moment, we've got 1 month to shoot 20 episodes with you guys, and then you're being shipped off to Australia to shoot this movie. So it was like a whirlwind. And so it kind of just went along with that whirlwind of, you know, the minute the movie hit, it was like they had barely started playing episodes with us in it. So it was like, okay, here's a few episodes, and boom, here's this major movie. And then we were, you know, before we knew it, we were, you know, just shooting and shooting. So it was like a year and a half of my life that is like a blur. But there was so much work. And I always tell people that it was like the good, the bad, the ugly. It was like the hardest you'll ever work in this town. And it was just crazy. But you know what? I was living out my dream. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be on set. I wanted to do a movie. I wanted to be on a TV show. And I got all of that in one swoop. So I felt like I had got the golden ticket. So I felt extremely blessed and was just extremely happy to be a part of you know, I didn't even really know how big Power Rangers was until, like, probably, you know, a year in. Like, it was that's kind of how fast and kind of overwhelming it was. We didn't really have opportunities to see the other side of it and the fame of it, and it was just crazy. But I feel so blessed. I mean, it was definitely a whirlwind time of my life.
And in a few days here, we're actually coming upon the 20th anniversary of the movie.
Yeah. And that's really we're exciting. Having it's crazy. I just can't even believe it's been 20 years. I mean, I mean it really, really feels like it was yesterday. And the cool thing is that I'm doing a screening in Dallas, which is my hometown, and it's going to be Steve Cardenas and I are going to be hosting a screening there. And I do think David Fielding's going to probably join us because he's in the Dallas area. But we're just going to watch the movie with people and, you know, doing it question and answer after. And then we're going to, you know, sign some autographs and stuff. But I mean, I think it'll be really fun. And I have young nephews who are like, you know, 8 years old. And so they've never seen the movie on the big screen. They've only seen it like, you know, on TV at their house.
Yeah, that's
so
the best way to see it.
It'll be nice. So it'll be nice to see their reaction to this, you know, thing I did 20 years ago.
And I have to assume, like, the press for that movie must have been insane, right? When you were doing tours.
That was when I realized that we were not in Kansas anymore. This was crazy. Like, we did a press tour, and I mean, literally in one day, we were on Good Morning America. We were on Regis and Kathy Lee. That's what it was back then. We were on the Today Show. I mean, it was like we were I remember getting a picture, and I was looking through old pictures, and I was like, oh, my gosh. We were, like, taking pictures with Mayor Giuliani in New York City. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, it was just crazy. It was really like, did that really happen? Because at the time, I didn't even know that's who he was. And I remember getting interviewed, and it was like we were being interviewed outside of the studio, and it was kind of leading up to us going in the studio, and we're like talking to this guy. And when I looked back at the footage, it was Matt Lauer. Like, this was when he was outside interviewing people the lead up and with Katie Couric. And it was just like, wow, like, we really did that. So, I mean, it was bananas. And then when we came back to L.A. for the official premiere, I mean, we did the hand and footprint at Mann's Chinese Theater. And, I mean, literally, the whole Hollywood Boulevard was shut down. And it was like there were bleachers. And everywhere you look, there were people. And you turn around, and there were thousands of paparazzi. And they knew your name. And they were like, look this way. And you were like, how do you even know my name? This is insane.
Strike a pose, and it was for the camera.
It was just bananas. But at that moment, which was like about a year in for me, I realized, wow, you know, this is big.
that would feel insane.
This
to me.
Right. So at that point, I got a taste of what the other guys had been telling me. Like, they were like, oh, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah. So going back to the TV show, we've got to go back to the TV show.
Yes.
And Ray has a question for you. Go ahead, Ray.
Since we were talking about Stone Canyon a few minutes ago, there was a certain episode in season 2 which featured old friend of Aisha's from Stone Canyon named Shauna. And I love this episode a lot. So how was it feeling like filming those scenes? Because she was pretty nasty towards Aisha and Kim.
Her character was really nasty. And you played your Aisha off really well in that scene, because that's one of our favorites.
I know. Juggling the frenemies, right?
Right.
It was cool because I loved any episode that kind of gave us a backstory. I felt like we all know the real story. You know, the three people left the show, and it was just a quick transition to get three new Rangers in. So anytime they would dedicate a script to give our characters some history or some backstory was really good, because then it made it, you know, seem a little more possible. It wasn't just like, oh, these three new people just showed up one day, you know, and it really gave the audience and gave kids the opportunity to connect with us. So I kind of liked, you know, being that person who had two friends that were kind of fighting over, you know, in a way fighting over me, and me being the nice guy, the peacemaker. You know, because that was definitely Aisha's MO. Like, she was definitely a peacemaker, and she was let's just all have fun, you know? So I just really liked it, you know, and it kind of gave a little more backstory to my character.
We definitely love quoting Shauna. Like, for example, she said, I haven't heard from you, Aisha. What, is your thumb broken? Like, We say that all the time.
Funny, because I haven't heard, I haven't seen that episode in forever. Yeah. So saying that like kind of triggered like a memory. Like I was like, oh, that's funny. She didn't say that, didn't she?
It was so campy and over the top. Yeah, it was great.
She was like, yeah. How dare you leave our school and then run with this one? Who is she?
She was nasty that day. I don't know what that was. Yeah. Okay. Next question is from Adam.
Hi. My question is more along the lines of Aisha's departure from the show. I know that you technically left probably earlier than
the show showed you.
But the show had drawn out. Yeah. But how do you think the departure from the show, from your character's point of view, was? And do you think that the closure was there?
Was there closure?
No, it was totally whack. It was totally awful. I won't even sugarcoat it, because I had a meeting with them, and we had, you know, kind of come to the conclusion that I wanted to leave the show. You know, and everybody knows the whole... Yeah. You know, guys know the real of you know, we weren't getting paid, we weren't treated very well, you know, it's just that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I had decided I wanted to leave the show, and they were like, we're going to do 10 episodes, we're going to write you out, it's going to be fantastic, we appreciate all that you've brought, you know, you've done, you've worked very hard, and I did. I always worked really hard, I never threw a fit on set, I was always professional, and I even when we were discussing these kind of things, I was very professional and very, you know, I was good. I didn't act the way that I should have acted when people were treated, you know, incorrectly. But so I was promised all these things, and literally the next time I went to set, that was my last day. And I don't know if it was on purpose or what, but I didn't even get to say goodbye to my co-stars. They weren't even on set with me that day.
Oh, that's sad.
Took me on set, walked me through this like little thing, and then that was that. And then I found out later, oh, that's all we need. So, but that's Hollywood, you know. So I learned really quickly that there is no loyalty in this city, and it can be very cutthroat, and it can be very heartbreaking. But, you know, I thought it was completely whack, because people had identified with my character, and I felt like, if nothing else, look out for your fans and look out for the integrity of the show. Like, you know, people should get more than what you're giving them. But, you know, it is what it is, right?
Right. And do you happen to, like, do you happen to remember that scene they made you film where you just kind of walked out, or the last film?
Well, it was
film,
the scene where it was that last scene where I walked, you know, and I walked into a field and I handed my power off or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, that was literally the scene that happened.
For some reason, I had heard debate whether or not that was you. And I'm like, yeah, it's her. Hello.
I mean, it was really quick and real. I don't even know that the crew actually knew what they were shooting. They just, you know, it was kind of like, okay, walk over there and and here's a little girl, and the little girl, I handed her the thing, and that was that. So it was just really weird. So yeah, but no, I think that was definitely me. I never watched any of the episodes, to be honest, because I just felt weird about watching myself. Mm. But I assume they used that footage.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to kind of look close, because your head is a little bit towards the camera, so you can't kind of see you, and then you turn, and it's you. So that footage was used of you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we have one last question for you, Karen, and that comes from Ray.
Yes.
So, in your mind, what would you think Aisha would be doing today? I mean, yeah, we have that whole thing about Aisha going to Africa to help some wildlife, but what do you think Aisha is doing today?
Aisha has actually she's gone undercover, and she's actually Beyonce. Aisha is Beyonce. Oh. Beyonce
is actually okay, Beyonce. Work. I like that.
And she changed her name, and she's like this a major, major recording artist, and is like, you know, forget Angel Grove, I. She's like singing it up and shaking it up. That is Aisha. I didn't wanna blow Beyonce's cover, but Aisha is Beyonce.
That is the best cover or best backstory or future story I've ever heard.
It makes
total sense.
It does. It makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, of course.
I'm okay with
that. There we have it. That is
right.
Aisha Grove, Beyonce.
So, okay, so Karen, before we let you go, I wanted to know, is there anything you want to tell our listeners, like where to follow you, what you're working on, any kind of things like that?
Yes, please follow me at official Karen Ashley. You can find me on Facebook and on Instagram. And on Twitter, I'm at Karen Ashley. And I want you guys to check out the next episode of Uncensored Talk, which will be out this next Tuesday. I know, what's today? Today's Saturday. And on Tuesday, we have a, wouldn't you know, a Ranger Stop edition episode that I shot at last year's Ranger Stop with me and the cast of Gem. So, you know, you can find, you can find Uncensored Talk. It's on YouTube /Uncensored Talk. So it's very easy to find. And if you go to my pages, I'm going to be blasting it all over the place. But I'm sitting down talking to the women of Gem. And it was such a fun episode because we were at Ranger Stop and we took a minute to talk. And we're talking about the upcoming movie that they have, the Gem movie that's coming out and that new reboot. And it was just really cool. Those ladies are amazing. But I have a million other episodes of Uncensored Talk where I've talked to Power Rangers. I've talked to voiceover actors. I've talked to legendary people that are just in this business. And I've been very blessed to travel the country and go from convention to convention. And I one day the light bulb went off and was like, why isn't anyone talking to these people? Because when I'm in the green room and we're having these cool conversations, like, this is really cool. The stories that they're telling me are really cool. And I know the fans would love to be the fly on the wall and hear some of these stories. And so luckily for me, I was able to get a crew together and we've been filming. So we've been having a lot of fun this year. You know, really sitting down and hearing people's stories and just having a good time. And they're definitely uncensored. You know, it's funny when you sit down with someone who you kind of see every weekend or you kind of hang out with and go to dinner with, you have a more relaxed conversation. So, you know, they're very candid and very honest. And but yeah, the gem episode, which it was, you know, a Ranger Stop edition episode, will be out this Tuesday.
Yes, and everyone look out for that. And just in case, does any of the Ranger Stop guys have anything last to add about anything?
I would like to add that we're going to have a Stone Canyon photo op, and that's one of those things you might want to miss. So you guys better come.
How can you miss Stone Canyon reunion photo op? Yeah. Get to it.
Exactly. I don't know how you'd want to miss that. That is freaking phenomenal. I'm signing up for one.
You'll be there.
I want to make sure I get a copy. No, it's really fun. And one thing I will say, at conventions, you know, you obviously can come up and meet us, but you can get autographs signed and, you know, people bring their collections of toys for us to sign. But the photo ops is one thing people don't ever think about. You can get a professional picture, and I mean, it's printed out 8x10 right there on the spot, and it's such a great piece to add to your collection. So,
yeah, especially you sign them right there for everyone, right? Along with that printed picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are perfect.
Yeah, they can come back. Yeah, they can come back and have them signed if they want to elect to do it.
And that's really the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, you should see some of these photo ops have been funny and crazy because it's like sometimes we'll stand there normally and hug and take a picture, or sometimes people, you know, fulfill their Power Ranger dreams and we're straight up posing, doing fight poses, we're, you know, doing prom pictures, we're doing crazy things, we're reenacting stuff. So I know me, Steve, and Johnny being in a picture and you being able to take that picture, it's going to be a party. So
I like the prom picture idea. That sounds fun.
I know. So many prom pictures last year at Ranger Stop. It was hilarious.
Nice.
That sounds awesome. All right. Well,
I feel like I do my like a mug shot or something.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Exactly. But that's the thing. It's like whatever you want, and here you are with some of your favorite childhood actors. That's funny. I would do it. So think about it. It's definitely a cool piece to add to your collection. And what's funny is that people will go from con to con to con and get these photo ops, and maybe they do the mugshot thing, and then they'll go do it with another cast, or they'll do it with another. So it's like you can kind of get it going, you know, and really have a collection of these cool pictures.
I could imagine having a full photo album of just different poses and stuff like that, or a full album of the same pose.
Exactly.
Karen, I would like to thank you for being my number one customer for Aisha Toys.
Yeah, because I'm an Aisha toy hoarder. I've got a whole bunch of Aisha toys.
You got anything good?
Oh, I got everything.
Did you get your new movie figure?
Yes, I've got like five of them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Yeah, I'm telling you, hoarding is real, and real in the field at my house. And, like, people will Facebook me and go, I have an extra one. I'll send it to you. And I let them. I go, okay, great. Here's the okay. address.
Karen.
I love you.
Is that for you or for your family?
It's for me. The family's in taken care of. It's now, I hope to fill a whole wall of me one day.
I kind of want that, too. Hmm.
Oh, well, yeah, right?
Or you too, whatever. Whichever works.
Do you?
Just like, hey, yeah, I'm just like all a, a Karen Ashley wall or a Aisha wall, maybe?
Yeah. So this is the thing. For me, it just blows my mind that I have an action figure and that I have variations of action figures. And then I also have a Barbie doll. Like, it's like, what? Get out of town. I got to get it. Like, you can't turn that down.
Oh, I understand. You should see my collection. It's vast, to say the least. But, yeah. Okay, so I wanted to say thank you to all of the guys from Ranger Stop. And, of course, Karen Ashley, thank you for joining us on the grid. You are all welcome anytime you want to come back, for sure.
Thank you.
Yay! We'll see you guys in November.
In November, yes. So, everyone, if you've been paying attention, make sure to look up Ranger Stop on their Facebook and their website. And remember that Ranger Stop is from November 13th through the 15th in Orlando, Florida.
Back to action!
So, okay, let's start with this week on Morphin Legacy, because a lot of shit happened during our fifth anniversary, which just passed last week. So, everybody here, yay, fifth birthday! Woo! Spring break! So, yeah, I've been celebrating like a week-long celebration, lots of, videos and art and contests. Let me briefly mention the contest. So, if you haven't seen the video for my Morphin Legacy 5th Birthday contest, go to YouTube now. It is a super freaking easy contest for a super huge prize. So, get to work. Some of the ones I've seen are pretty funny so far. So, keep up the funny memes. And I got some comic strips that we used actual toys, which is 100% what I asked you to do. So, that's amazing. Keep that up. And again, check out that video for all of the prizes, because it's literally two huge prize packages. It's huge. It's huge. Did I mention it was huge?
Yes, you did.
I've seen it. It's pretty big.
It's pretty big. So, what did I talk about here? Oh, so also, if you missed it, this happened a while ago, but this was before our Nakia and Catherine interview. Morphin Legacy Radio is back. Yay!
Yay!
So, if you want to listen to all of your favorite Power Rangers and Super Sentai music all day, every day, then go to that station. The link to that station is on morphinlegacy.com, of course. To the right and to the left. You have so many choices. God.
It's awesome. I like it.
I love it. I'm glad I brought it back, so you're welcome. Just kidding. Also, it's still June, so our June Ranger of the Month is Casey Rhodes, a.k.a. Jason Smith, the real Jason Smith, Adam.
Hashtag catfish stew.
Catfish stew. Ooh, that's a throwback. That's a throwback right there. So that's awesome. Jason Smith, Casey Rhodes. Other random things to talk about. Our next live stream is on June the 20th. I can't even know the date.
27th.
Thank you. June 27th is our next live stream. And this one is dedicated to the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger movie to celebrate its 20th anniversary. So you have to come to this live stream. It's going to be awesome. We gathered a whole crap load of random stuff to show you, like commercials and specials and all kinds of stuff from that you remember from being a kid. So be there. It's going to be awesome. I am also planning to do something fun on the live stream on the actual anniversary of the movie, so look out for news for that. It will be fun. And we'll get to one last thing, since this is for future people. I recently got a text interview with Jason Chan, so check that out. He is Cam from Ninja Storm, and I know that's very exciting. Mm. So he's our latest text interview, so check that out. Also, too, if you haven't, for some ungodly reason, you should listen to the Catherine and Nakia's Our Stronger Than Before Edition episode. And if you haven't, why are you slacking?
That was so much fun.
So much fun, yeah.
That was awesome.
Awesome sauce. So listen to that. But let's move on and actually talk about Power Ranger news. And we actually have Dino Charge news this week.
Mm-hmm. What? A lot of it.
A lot of Dino Charge news. Some news related to the reboot movie and some other such fun things, toys and all of that. So let's start with...
And I'm living.
Live it. So first we have, one of the first things we saw was we got a sneak peek of the new, well not new, but the upgraded cockpit with the Gold Ranger inside the cockpit and the new charged up mode, which is now called, what's it called?
Dino Drive.
Dino Drive. I like calling it charged up mode, but that's me, but whatever. Dino Drive. Cool. So what did we all, first of all, what do we all think about the Dino Drive? Because I don't know if anyone's heard us talk about it. Anyone?
Ray? I personally like it.
I really dig it. It looks like something that they would have done in Kyuriger. So, like, Kyuriger was stupid. Like, and they had stupid concepts, so it's like, oh, hey, let's just put a giant beast battery on their chest. Like, they would totally do that if it was Kyuriger. But I think it looks like...
Look at Carnival Mode.
Yeah, it's like, it looks like it fits, like in the show, so...
Which is good, because typically things like Battleizers are really out of place and weird, and this totally, like, again, it fits, yeah, like, you can see them exactly doing that.
It's more of a power-up, though. It's kind of like Mega Mode, which I kind of think they're just going to keep it in the cockpit, but who knows?
Yeah, and that is okay. That was the number one question people were tweeting. Is it going to come out of the cockpit? Not like Mega Mode. Ugh. So what do you guys think? Well, obviously, Ray, you think it'll stay in the cockpit. I personally also think it will stay in the cockpit.
I think it'll stay in the cockpit, but I hope it doesn't.
Right. We're on the side of justice. We just know that's not going to happen.
I have faith in Judd Lynn, so I'm gonna bank on them using it at least once outside of the cockpit.
So I think it could be part of the finisher, because the Kyuriger finisher was they just hold up a battery and like a laser comes out. So I could see them making a new weapon that you need to go Dino Drive mode to use this cannon that like powers up with the 10 chargers or something.
Yeah,
you know?
This will be used for like the more stronger Zords, like the Plesiosaur and whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because they're in, the six of them are in the Plesio cockpit in that photo.
Or those Zords are supercharged.
Get it?
But also in that picture, if you notice, the Gold Ranger's holding a weapon that wasn't in Kyuriger. We talked about this, right? Yeah, so that's a mystery. We don't know what the hell that is. Also, there's two different versions of the cockpit. One where they have the armored on, completely armored mode, and one where they don't. So that's a thing.
Yeah, we won't know about this until like a year from now or something.
Yeah, it'll be a while.
Yeah.
Also, in Dino Charge slight news, we got a press release and an official logo and trailer, kind of, for Dino Supercharge, which
comes
out.
Well, we kind of got a trailer today as we were recording here on Tuesday.
Perfect segue. Bring that up. Right.
Yes, someone on Ranger Board or something found it on Vimeo. And I don't know if everybody else watched it, but I watched it and I shared it with them on the Morphin Legacy Facebook page. And like an hour after it was shared, I mean, this thing was on Vimeo for a month, but after it was shared to Ranger Board and all the other Power Rangers sites, it was taken off of Vimeo. So,
yeah, so me with my lazy ass, I was up until 6 in the morning working on that Dino Thunder video. So when I finally woke up from that, it had already been taken down. I'm like, crap.
But we know what's in the trailer, though, because Ranger Crew took pictures.
Maybe if people are lucky, they might see it at a recent live stream, maybe.
Ah. Just because I saved it just in time.
Someone is smart and saved it. Oh.
Maybe we should talk about what's in the trailer?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's part of our news, because it's in the trailer. So, lots of stuff.
Okay. One of the things I want to point out is the Neo Evil armor from the Kyuriger versus GoBuster movie in original footage.
We know what Neo Val.
Yeah, whatever his name is. That was in original footage, so he might be Zeltrex, he might be a new villain, we don't know. But either way, he's going to be used in Dino Supercharge in some capacity. We also saw Evil Torin, which I kind of think is a monster of the week. We saw Endorf, which I know he's going to be used. And we saw Chaos, which... who knows? He'll probably be used towards the end.
And we're still hoping that he's the priest.
Yes, that performs Legend Poisander's wedding.
That's gotta be it. I mean, come on. That's just too perfect.
That's just perfect. And Endorf should be Poisander's brother.
Yes.
Or her, like, ex. Her, like, ex-something.
Right. We also got, along with the trailer that we saw captures from, and some people saw the actual video, we also got the logo, which is obviously simply just Dino Supercharge.
Just super added to the charge.
Yeah, the press release doesn't really give us much of the storyline, obviously, because we are only 8 episodes into Dino Charge. So, yeah. Can't really talk about that. But one thing we can talk about, though, is we did get a revelation of the BIOS for the Graphite and Gold Rangers. So, Prince Philip and Ivan, we now have BIOS for them, courtesy of their action figures, which have just been released at Walmart. So, if you're looking for those, they're at Walmart's. So let the hunt begin. Ray, go ahead and read those.
All right. Should I talk about? I'll read Ivan's first, which is pretty much we know about him, that he's a knight. Okay, and it goes, 500 years ago, Ivan was a valiant young knight who dared to challenge Fury for the gold ender gem. Having finally escaped his imprisonment years later, Ivan joins the Power Rangers as the Gold Ranger. He brings legendary skills to the team as he wields a magnificent saber and morpher that doubles as a weapon. So...
his imprisonment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the new thing, is the imprisonment part.
Well, are they going with the storyline from Kyoruger?
I have a feeling that it is, considering that it was very similar to his Sentai counterpart.
Well, I always thought that storyline in Kyoruger was really cool. Like,
it was
just him
cool, but I was kind of hoping that it was going to be Tyler's dad.
Yeah, me too. But
now the gold energy makes more sense. I mean, I was kind of thinking it was going to be him, but part of me was hoping that it was going to be his dad, but yeah. But let's talk about the next bio. Which
so the next one, okay, so everyone assumed that Matt, Riley's brother, was going to be the Graphite Ranger.
Because that was the character.
How wrong were we? Wrong. All right, so tell us who the Graphite Ranger is, Ray.
So the Graphite Ranger, surprise, surprise, is a character called Prince Philip. And what he's about is he admires the Power Rangers and admires to be like them, so much that he embarks on a quest to find his own Energem and become a Ranger too.
So it's kind of like what Orion should have been, kind of?
It's not Matt.
Like related to Guy?
It's very Guy related.
Yeah, because that's what Orion should have been.
And part of me thinks this Prince Philip is going to be a younger character. Because he kind of seems very enthusiastic and whatnot.
Yeah.
And Nightmare, a few months ago, from the Power Scoop, found on somebody's resume that somebody called Prince Colin has been casted in Power Rangers Dino Charge, and he was like a 6-year-old kid. So that might be a possibility.
Could be Prince Philip's brother.
Yeah.
Do we think we're getting two medieval princes, or like, is this Philip kid like a modern prince?
Like, no, he's probably like a modern prince. Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah, I think he might be like an Indian prince or something.
Well, me personally, I'm thinking that these extra, like the Spirit Rangers, are going to be like people from the past. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Ivan. I would assume I'm assuming that Ivan's like
medieval.
Whatever. Yeah, and then Prince Philip, I would assume like he's like, I don't know,
Renaissance old-ish. Era. Yeah.
Yeah, or like French.
Yeah.
Like he's that kind of French royalty or something like that. I don't know. I'm assuming
we also have that episode with the Royal Rangers, remember?
Right.
So maybe we'll get like Prince Philip in that episode?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. Maybe.
And they could appear as people before they're Rangers, too.
Yeah. And we all know that Kendall's going to be purple, so.
Yeah, I mean,
let's the female purple, because we know there's a male purple.
Right. And we know for sure that there's a male Aquas, thanks to the behind the scenes photos, right?
Yes.
And as far as that whole Matt like thing goes, I really hope that was just Judd like screwing with the fandom, cuz that's like amazing if that was that they released that casting call asking for a certain type of character and then they used that to find Prince Philip and then they created some other character just for like based, you know, that would be funny if they did that on purpose.
Tricky, tricky, tricky. But in a good way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
For a second, let's talk about the toys, because I saw, I don't know if you care or not, but I saw the pictures of the toys. The Graphite Ranger and the Gold Ranger look amazing. Like,
they
there's
do.
Something wrong with these Dino Thunder, or sorry, God, Dino Charge action figures. Like, they're pretty perfect, in my opinion. And just seeing Graphite and Gold, they have a little sheen to them, so... Mm-hmm. Very good.
Also, the Graphite has the Spirit Ranger, like, bite symbol, so...
Oh, yeah, is it gray or is it yellow, like the others? I haven't noticed
it's
that.
It's gray, or bronze, or whatever color
oh,
that is.
Oh, yeah, it's bronze, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm looking at the figure right now, you're right. Interesting!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Graphite Ranger, the Gold Ranger, and the Terra Charge Megazord figure are now available at Walmart, so... Mm-hmm. Look for this.
They get those villain figures out.
Yeah, also, speaking of villain figures, Toys R Us and Walmart, for some reason, just started stocking Vivix and Fury figures out of nowhere. They're in abundance now. So if you couldn't find them before, they're out. Go looking for
them.
Well,
I already have two Furies, so I don't have a problem with that.
Why do you have two? Yeah.
Because Jay gave me one, and I bought the six-pack with all the Dino Charge Ranger figures in them, so I have two Furies.
You should get one and put the furry thing around his neck so you have both versions of him.
Oh my god.
I was thinking about doing that too. Maybe I should.
Just go to like a craft store and buy like a little just piece of fuzz and just drape it on there and call it a day.
Maybe I should. That's a good idea, Victor.
That's hilarious. All right, so I guess that's it for the Dino Charge news, right? Yeah, for now.
Mm-hmm.
For now. Let's hope we'll be getting some new news soon. Word on the street is the first half of August is the return of Dino Charge. No confirmed date, obviously, yet, but it is rumored the first
That's in less than part. 2 months.
Yeah, it's the first part of August, so it will not be in late August. It's that first 2 weeks of August. So look forward to that. Yes, I know every day I get a something from someone asking when Dino Charge is coming back. That's generally what we know now. So there you go. Kudos. All right, so on to some non-Dino Charge news. Cons and appearances and the Mighty Morphin reboot, of course. We're always talking about that. But first, let's talk about actual Power Ranger actors. So Space City Con is coming from July 24th to the 26th in Houston, Texas. And the reason why I'm talking to you about it, period, is because there's a Time Force reunion going on and another guy in green that are going to be appearing at Space City Con. So you're going to get to see all six Time Force Rangers, including Jason Font, Kevin Kleinberg, Michael Copan, Deborah Stahl Phillips, Aaron Cahill, and Dan Southworth. And you're also getting Vernon Wells.
Ooh. OMG. For the first time since 2001.
Yeah, for the first time. And that's very, very exciting. I'm sad I'm not going, but I hope people will take lots of pictures.
PMC, fingers crossed.
Yes, oh my god. Come on, PMC, get them, all of them. So that's very exciting. Again, that dude in green will also be there, but nobody cares.
Who?
Anyways. Oh. That dude in green, you know.
I thought that was like the name of a cosplayer, and I was like, what?
No, he's not in Time Force, so that's not important.
Mm. But Jay, so, speaking of Time Force,
yeah, we got some exciting news recently.
Like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, this is a future people, remember?
Oh yeah, this is for future people.
Okay, we got two new Power Rangers that just did No Hate. They just got the pictures done today, so we don't see the finished project yet today while we're recording. So Yoshi Sadarsa, who plays Coda, just did his shoot just now. And, of course, he is shirtless in his picture because how can he not be? And Deborah Stell Phillips from Time Force Yellow, Katie, oh, my God, that's out of nowhere. So she did her picture, too, today. So that's very exciting. And she looks beautiful, by the way. I didn't even recognize her completely.
And Yoshi is, like, in character, kind of, with the hair. And he has the American Dino Charger, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Adam, what did you think of those No Hate behind the scenes? Did you see those?
I thought that they were pretty cool. I'm like, it's about time that we see Deborah come back. I've missed her.
Yeah,
she's pretty really cool. Good. And to see Yoshi doing one that just emphasizes just how awesome he is as a person. So yeah, these two people have stepped up the plate and showed how awesome they truly are and showed exactly how much it is to be a ranger no matter what.
Love it. So regarding Dino Charge, we have Camille Hyde, who did one, and Michael Tabor so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're still missing Brennan and James Davies. And I do feel like both of them will do it.
And Claire.
And Claire when she becomes, yeah, purple.
And whoever Gold is.
And whoever Gold is. I don't even know if we'll get those random, the extra Rangers, who the hell knows. I wanted to bring up Time Force. So once Deborah Stell Phillips' picture is added, only Kevin Kleinberg is missing.
Yes.
So he will be with her at Space City Con. I'm hoping that No Hate is smart enough to go to there and get his photo done like they did at PMC. That would be very smart on their part, hopefully. So very exciting that more Rangers are being added to No Hate. And as always, we will be updating the No Hate database when they are finished.
Hopefully
soon. Very soon, hopefully, yes. All right, so more big news. San Diego Comic-Con is coming soon. And that means more Power Rangers exclusives and more... I don't know. That's all I really care about Comic-Con, to be honest. So Comic-Con is in San Diego from July 9th through the 12th. So like I said, there's exclusives. We're getting three official Bandai Power Ranger exclusives, and we're getting a lot of other exclusives from Shout Factory. I keep saying Shout Factory. Loyal Subjects. Sorry. They did those little figures with the big heads and the wrong colored hair, that kind of thing. So let me go over the prizes. Not the prizes. Let me go over the exclusives, the main three, and then we'll talk about how disgusting most of them are. So the first one that was revealed was the White Ranger vinyl, which was completely obvious based on the blank picture we got the week before.
Tommy, what a surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So it's an obviously expected item. I don't plan on getting that at all. It is $25 at Comic-Con, and there are 700 available of those. So hopefully 700 Tommy fanboys will get those, and they will be happy. Or 700 scalpers will get them, and no one will be happy. Either way. Okay, number the second one that was revealed is actually pretty decent. It is the Mighty Morphin Dino Charger set, which comes with 7 Dino Chargers representing the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So you get green, white, and then the main 5 Rangers. That's going for $30. It's a metallic edition as well, and there's 700 available of those as well. So that's going to be a shit show.
I think they look cool.
I mean, they're cool. I'm talking about a shit show, like, I'm meaning, like, people are going to be kicking each other's heads in, I feel.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. I feel like the casuals who love Mighty Morphin aren't even... why is it a little battery? I don't get it. Like, they're not even going to know, you know?
True. Or it could be like, oh, it just has Mighty Morphin on it. I don't care what it is. Money. Yeah,
maybe.
It might be that, too. And then last and least is the last... item is the black and gold edition Saba for $175.
To go with your gold dragon dagger.
Yeah. And there are 1,000 of those available for some reason.
It looks and like the Brachio stuff.
It does. I mean,
it kind of does.
I don't know what to feel about these. I mean, okay, gold and black I like in certain things. For example, I really enjoy the gold and black mecha and the gold and black Megazords. I do not enjoy the gold and black weapons because to me it makes no sense. Uh-huh. Granted, the Megazords it still makes sense either, but I just don't like... What do you guys think about the Saba?
It's ugly.
It's bad. You don't want to talk about Doraemon?
Not really. Do you want to talk about Doraemon?
No, I don't know anything about it. I read one chapter.
Neither do I.
I read one chapter of the manga once. That was it.
Okay, yeah, because people were wondering what that fourth one was, and then we found out what it was, and they're like, why is that with the Power Rangers? Because it was Bandai's release, not just Power Rangers, that's why. So, I will try to get the Dino Charger set, because I kind of want it. I don't know why I just do. It looks pretty. So that I want.
Get ready for scalpers.
Scalpers, I know, so that's $30, so I'll probably end up spending $60 on it, which is fine. Mm. It's fine, I guess. We'll see. Someone show mercy on me. Anyone listening out there, buy me one. Because of reasons. So also some other exclusives we got from, like, loyal subjects. We're getting Translucent Crystal Edition Red and Blue Rangers. We're also getting a Pink Ranger Crystal Edition. And they're also selling exclusives. They're called Window Boxes. I haven't seen them. I don't know what they look like. Apparently they're Metallic Edition, and they have two characters fighting each other in a window box. So there's Rita versus Kimberly, Lord Zedd versus Tommy, and Goldar versus, I'm assuming, Jason. So... I haven't seen what those look like, but I'm assuming they look pretty cool. So those are $29.99, and there's 500 available of those. So go to the, what are they called? The Loyal Subjects booth or the Bandai booth if you're looking for any of those exclusives. Anybody planning on getting any of those anywhere?
No. I'm looking it up. It sounds cool. And I'm finding... I can't find a picture. The Transformers ones look cool.
There's a website out there I know of that has an article that has those pictures that's at the very top of the website. I just can't come up with the name of that website. It's based on a podcast we're doing right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you said you haven't seen it, so I figured...
The window boxes I haven't seen, but the others I have.
That's what I'm looking
for. I misunderstood you. Okay. I am sorry. Okay, so let's moving on from that as well. So some weird-ass Mighty Morphin reboot stuff to talk about. I guess. So, I don't even know where this interview came from. So, we had an interview from Dean Israelite. I think it was IGN?
Yeah, it was IGN.
Yeah, okay. IGN, I had a whole window of these articles open, and then Google Chrome decided to crash, and I lost everything, so here I am in the middle of the show. Okay, so, basically what his interview said was that the reboot would be more mature, but still playful, and that the movie would most likely cast unknowns, which... is good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. We don't want friggin' Taylor Lautners and whatnots playing the Rangers.
Yeah, I don't really want that either. I mean, okay. I know that we do need big names, but I could see, like, we've talked about this before. I could see Rita and Zordon.
Yeah, cast your heavy hitters as the big stars. Don't cast the Rangers as them. Because people will forgive a shitty movie just for their favorite stars being in the movie.
Exactly. So here's this quick little blurb from the article. It's just a quick little sentence he read about the script when he first read it. So, quote, I read the script and was really impressed by it and thought there was a really cool, contemporary, mature, but still playful, buoyant, and fun take on the material and was updated in a really interesting way. It had this wonderful character that's essential to going on a fantastic adventure. I was instantly drawn to it. I remember it as a kid. I grew up with it in South Africa. When I opened the script, I had no idea how it was going to be updated, and I was really impressed by it, so I put a really big presentation together because I needed to win the job. There were a lot of guys going out for it and saw the potential in it, so I put a really big presentation together and was lucky enough to get the job. We're in sort of a soft pre-production right now, doing a lot of design work and reimagining the world. It's really cool and exciting. So that's his quote about that. That's how he got the job, I guess.
I'm sold.
So I'm a little sold by that sentence.
Yeah, thank God it's not the, oh, we're gonna update this and it's going to be more edgy and gritty and for the adult fans. I'm glad that he's like...
He worked to get it, you know?
Yeah, it's going to have that same element in essence that Tharanger should have, which is good.
And one thing that I did like, and normally I wouldn't like this, but this time I did like it, that he mentioned that he watched it as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even though, you know, whatever. But I mean, even though you don't really have to watch all of Power Rangers to make a Mighty Morphin movie, because it's Mighty Morphin. You don't really need to, mm-hmm. to get... I mean, if you want to understand the entire universe of Power Rangers, then yeah, watch everything. But in essence, in keeping Mighty Morphin separate is fine. Especially in, like, the original movie, because that's separate from the universe anyways.
Mm-hmm.
TV universe. So, yeah, we have some good hopes. I was very happy with mature, but still playful, because that is what I thought Power Rangers, this movie, should be about. It should still be mature for the older audiences, but still be playful, which is the essence of Power Rangers to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go. And yes, casting unknowns, I'm 100% on top of that for the main five, or the main six range, if we end up getting Tommy.
Yes, it has to be unknowns. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to go into a debate where we no-pick our dream cast of unknowns. That
Yeah, most of those dream casts are, like, friggin' current Disney Channel stars I've seen on YouTube.
I would just like to be, like, let's say, oh, Jason was cast, and we got a picture of him, and we found out he was in only two other movies, and no one knows about them.
And he played an extra in, like, some random show.
Yeah, that kind of person. Because if the director and the producers of this movie, this is going to be a big movie. If they think that this person who is unknown can carry this movie, then let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm down for that, Joe.
That's all I'm saying, man. So much. Okay, I feel like so much of the stuff we're talking about with the movie is just such crap. Like, it's just...
Well, at least we have more than one thing to talk about in a week.
True.
They announced this movie and it was silent for 8 months.
Right.
Yes.
So let's talk about the quote-unquote leaked movie poster at the licensing expo recently, which was so funny to me because... Okay, and I love you guys, but... I blame Ranger Crew for this. Sorry. In a funny, playful way, I blame Ranger Crew for this. Because when they announced all the pictures at the licensing expo, they promoted it as a official movie poster for the Power Rangers reboot, mm-hmm. which it is not. It's basically just an ad that they put up real quick to show off that they are, in fact, making
it's
a movie.
In the Lionsgate section of the licensing expo. So people know that they're making a movie. It's not the freaking poster. Like, oh, what's with the shitty-ass logo? It's just a one-night guy from Turbo. I'm like, it's not the official logo!
It's, yeah, okay, that generic Power Rangers logo has been active since Disney's time. It's been in there for a very long time. It's nothing, that is not a new logo. They didn't even make a new logo. They just made it shiny a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was really, it looked like it just they put it together and they just were like, hey, we're making a movie still, remember? That's what mm-hmm. they were trying to do. But the fandom at large, here's the fandom at large part, took that as this was the official leaked movie poster and everybody was like, well, that's shitty, this looks like crap, why are they using that logo? Ugh.
It's a placeholder.
It was a shitstorm of tweets and Facebook bookings and all that. So that was that. So yeah, the moral of that little rant was that, yes, in fact, that poster was not the official poster. Obviously, the official poster will have the director and the actors and the pictures of the costumes and all that stuff. I'm sure they're not going to make the poster just Power Rangers coming soon. That's, no. Right?
I mean, we'll probably get like 12 posters, and a teaser might look like a better version of that, but there will be other posters that have actual info and images on them.
Oh, you know what I really want? You know when they have, like, superhero movies, kind of, or uh-huh. whatever kind of, and they do, like, those individual character posters?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get those. That's...
And I want to steal them from the movie theaters when I leave.
I guarantee that's going to be
a... Oh, my God, I'm totally going to do that.
Like, I'm just going to be like, wee, and pull it down from the ceiling. Yeah.
They hang from the ceiling at your movie theater?
Yeah. Some of them do. Like, I remember when Harry Potter...
Oh, wait. You know how, like, they have, like, those big cardboard displays where, like, you can get behind it and, like, fit your head in?
That, too.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. We need those, too.
My movie theater doesn't have any of that shit.
Well, like, yeah, we got those, and, like I was saying, when Deathly Hallows came out, they had the individual Harry Potter character posters, and they were hanging from the ceiling. So it looked pretty cool, actually. So that's what I mean. Like, that would be cool, just, like, you know, the Red Ranger, the Pink Ranger, and go on and on and just have them in a row.
That's a guarantee. That's going
to
happen.
I'm like, they better promote this shit, is all I'm trying to say. I want to see some real promotion from this. Not no sad Super Mega Force promotion. I want to see some real...
Oh, God.
How much promotion did Clash of the Red Rangers get? Like, 2 hours?
2 days before it aired.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. Because I remember I hadn't planned for it because it was just on. And I was like, shit. And because it was Thanksgiving. And I was at my mom's. And I'm like, everybody shut up. Watch this footage that totally is not context from what I've already seen. Ugh. Okay, so one last thing about the MMPR Rupert reboot. Shit show. Okay, so so we got this thing, which has now been confirmed to be fake.
Oh, by who?
By everyone.
Oh,
good. In the news community.
Oh, thank God.
So, again, I had this open, but it's not open anymore. So there was an article that was leaked, quote unquote leaked. I didn't put enough information on my script until I get this damn window open.
Would you like to explain it, Jay?
Yes, please do.
So it was pretty much the opening of the movie being like Rita being in prehistoric time fighting Zordon, and he's the Red Ranger for some reason. So that was kind of confusing.
Yeah, apparently he was supposed to be the Red Ranger originally, and then he passes the powers on, right?
Yeah.
And then Rita was very prehistoric, and what were they talking about her being in... either way.
Yeah.
It was shared on the Morphin Legacy Facebook not too long ago, and I purposely put that it was blowing smoke up our ass, because I knew it was fake immediately looking at it. I just thought it was funny to share, because it did have some interesting ideas in it.
I mean, having it in prehistoric time would make the dino theme fit better.
Yeah, and that's a little Jew Ranger-esque, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounding.
When I first saw that, it's what website was that? Like the randomest website that I've never even heard of. So that was my radar right there. Like a bullshit detector.
HeroicHollywood.com?
Yeah, never heard of that.
Yeah, and well, immediately after I posted, several people were like, oh, this guy always takes fake stories, especially Lance from More Phenomenal. Hey, shout out. He sent me a message and was like, this guy's totally fake and he always posts fake stories. And I was like, oh, okay. And that's fine. I was like, but I just thought it was... That's why I put that little line at the end, because I thought it was funny or I thought it was interesting.
I think that's one of the guys behind Latino Review, and they're known for, like, just bullshit.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Victor. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's why I marked it as fake. That is fake news, until proven otherwise, obviously. I mean, once we actually get what's going on with this movie, then we'll know. But for now, it's fake. Okay? Okay. Mm-hmm. And one last bit of news before we get to our reviews. If you guys remember... Do you guys remember The Ranger?
About a year ago?
Yeah.
Like the first good Power Rangers fan film ever?
Yes, basically, exactly. Yeah. So Matt Jason, who did The Ranger a year ago, has finished his comeback video, which released about a week ago, I think. And he was right. It did deliver. It wasn't as Power Rangers as you would expect. Like, it's got certain Power Rangers elements in it, but it's not, like, in-your-face Power Rangers, because there's other elements in there, including, what was that, Mortal Kombat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was Mortal Kombat in there. So... I thought it was funny. What did you guys? Did you guys watch it? What did you?
I enjoyed it. It felt like it was more kitschy than the other movie.
I laughed. I thought it was really funny.
I loved it. A lot of people forget that the original was like a joke because it is. It's like serious until the very end, where like it turns out, oh surprise, it's Power Rangers. But it was uploaded first on like Funny or Die or College Humor. One
of
those.
Yeah. So Funny or Die.
It's supposed to be a joke. So I think. This was almost like a wink at the fans who want something like, you know, certain dark and gritty Power Rangers fan films. So he was like, oh, you guys want to see a sequel to my dark and gritty fan film? Fuck you. Here's me hanging out with Johnny Cage.
Yeah, right.
So when he said Cassie, I got confused for a second. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I thought it was like Cassie from MySpace.
I liked it because I'm a friend of Matt Jason's and he saved me a seat at MorphinCon, and that's the only reason why I watched it.
He was really nice. He was nice.
That was amazing.
He took a selfie. It was a good time.
So what do we think he's going to add in the third one?
Oh, who knows? That'll probably be a year from now.
Dragon Ball.
Oh, don't say that.
He's just gonna start introducing random characters into his universe. Like it'll be Captain Planet or something.
Sailor Moon.
Oh yeah.
Sailor Moon will be in there. Yeah.
Or,
Captain Planet, that would be awesome.
Who's like a rando? He-Man probably he could get.
Yeah. He can connect with the Jays cosplayers and get some of their characters to be in there. That'd be fun. Hey, let's hook them up. I know them both.
It should be an Expendables of just like 80s and 90s cartoon characters.
I know, right?
Taju Teen and Jillian Fighters.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, Cody. Let's
no, that's my favorite show of all time. It's so good.
It's okay.
Okie dokie. So that's all pretty much the news we have. I do believe there was some Sentai news, but I didn't care. Does anyone care?
Yeah, it's reductive.
There's a teaser or something for the movie, and it showed this weird dino monster, and who gives a shit? It looks like crap.
Yeah. If they bring back King for the Ninja Dinosaur movie, I'm going to blow my brains off.
Oh my god, they're going to do that just to troll everyone.
It might make it good, though.
They brought back a Cocker Ranger and a Hurricane to make it go. What makes you think bringing Daigo back will make it good?
Because I love Daigo. Shut up. Don't be mean to him.
Okay, Victor. Whatever.
Boring.
Okay, so speaking of the Super Sentai we love so much, let's moving on to our Sentai reviews. Let's get on to that.
I think I've only one episode to do.
Yeah, well, we are skipping 14. Because I had expected to do 16, but 16 wasn't out in time for this recording. It will probably be out by the time this episode is released, but oh well. Did anyone watch 14? What was it about? Want to tell us?
It was about some random ass like monster that like called the ninjas and pretended to be other people, and he tricked Takaharu to get all the other shurikens. So,
wait, that wasn't the episode we're reviewing right now?
No,
that's 15.
Oh, shit, I'm totally fucked because I didn't watch it. I'm sorry.
Way to go, a-hole.
I'm sorry!
Okay, wait. Oh, this is actually kind of good, because you're the only one who has an actual review for this, so go ahead. What'd you think, 14?
I thought that the Monster of the Week plan was one of the most baffling plans in Monster of the Week history. It was, like, one of the most easiest to, like, see through, like, okay. So, basically, the plan was, I'm gonna call pretending to be one of the other Rangers to get them to bring the guy Shuriken, and, like, these characters are so dumb, they couldn't figure out that they're being tricked, like, the writers of the show don't know what their character's like, and neither do the characters know what their character's like.
It was sad.
Yeah.
Well, the monster was smart for picking the most gullible one.
The monster's design was absolutely hilarious, though.
It's like a Car Ranger monster.
Yeah,
it was one of the cheapest-looking monster suits I've ever seen. Like, it literally looked like a green comforter draped over somebody. Mm-hmm. Like a Charlie Brown, like, sheet ghost with me out of moss.
I'm really hoping they're saving money for next season. Somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. If Sentai was going to die, they would tell us like a year in advance. Oh,
no, I'm kidding. I know that this is
Super Sentai Final Series. That's what it would be. It would be a whole thing. I'm telling you.
It'd get like a movie.
Yeah, like a movie or something. You know, they would go, Super Sentai would go out in style because that's how that's how they would do it.
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone else have anything to say about 14 that actually watched it? Anyone?
It was really bad.
I'm sorry, I didn't watch it because I thought we were skipping it to do 16, and I'm now.
Did.
I know. Oh well. Well, because technically, Cody.
Oh, I have one more thing to add. Okay. I'm getting absolutely sick of fucking Gold. Like, can he just join the goddamn team already? It's so overplayed.
I'm getting tired of it too.
Well, yeah. In that episode, they say you have 1 month left. So I think in a few episodes that arc is going to be done.
Please,
God, I hope so.
Mm. Well, yeah. Cody, you technically stepped in and saved the day, so we technically did get an episode 14 review in there.
I mean, I watched it, but I didn't write anything about it.
Yeah, neither. I'm sorry. Okay, so let's move on to something that all of us except for Cody watched. So let's talk about episode 15, which I actually have thoughts on. So thoughts and what the fuck moment. Go ahead, Ray.
All right. So the thing I'm learning about Kazumi focus episodes that that she mostly stays in the background for most of the episode until she needs to solve the problem of the episode. Like, for example, that episode where she needed to, like, make a machine that, like, deflected that illusion monster, that balloon monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of feel like all of her episodes are like that, and I'm not really liking it. I like Sugo Mori or whatever the hell his name is messing up Kyuemon's name. That was kind of funny.
Disrespect.
Shame.
Shame.
Okay, Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones references are real up in here.
I liked the Star Ninja fanboying over the dino skeleton thing with the eyebrows. It was kind of hilarious.
Well, that's one of my notes too. I was like, what is that about?
Oh yeah, that didn't go anywhere, did it? I kind of forgot about that.
It didn't.
It just had eyebrows.
It just has eyebrows. The fight with Rodeo Maru and the Takaharu's something Maru.
Shinobi Maru.
Shinobi Maru.
There you go. That was kind of cool. Oh, hey, look, the Kakuranger Ranger Shuriken is back. They're still using them. Hooray. I liked that Kazumi kicked Major butt at the end, and especially when she kicked Takaharu to the side. That's major points in my book. Good job, Kazumi. Also, the whole thing at the end with Star Ninja saying the whole thing, oh, you need the end Shuriken for something. That kind of sparked my interest a little bit. Also, what I didn't like about the episode, I didn't like the bipolarness with Star Ninja about him like being friendly 1 minute and the whole, oh, I'm trying to kill you the next. That's kind of getting old for me a little bit. I mean, it was funny in like the first 3 episodes, but now we're getting to like 6 and 7 episodes and he's still doing it? Ugh, okay.
Yeah, the whole kind of trying to kill you thing is getting lame.
Yeah, Sugomori getting all this. Where is Sugomori getting all these ceiling shurikens from? Weren't they supposed to be scattered around Tokyo or something? That's kind of random.
Maybe he's finding them.
Maybe, or the writers forgot that they had them scattered around.
Maybe he's tricking the Bokenders into finding them for him.
What?
It's all a big trick.
Okay.
okay.
I don't get that reference.
The sudden sense. These
are treasure hunters looking for the precious.
I know, but they're not involved in this. What?
All right, moving on.
A joke. Okay. Oh my god.
All right, moving on. The sudden sentience of the mecha is kind of random. Like the few episodes ago, when Shinobi Maru was like being all emo on the side, and then he saved Takaharu, and now Rodeo Maru is like making a contract with that monster. Oh, that was really. Okay, this episode is all random shit. Also, the beautiful technique, okay. Way to play girl, Kazumi.
Yeah, that was kind of...
The negotiation scene was kind of painful. I mean, they could have done... They had so much potential to make this an episode. This is an awesome scene, but they were like, oh, I give up. You are awesome. And then the whole redemption of the monster was kind of random, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kind of seemed like they were redeeming the monster, and she was quitting. It was like, oh, fooled you. We're going to screw you over and destroy you anyway, even though you redeemed yourself.
Just kidding.
Okay, I'm done.
I really liked that we got a female monster. So that being said, I didn't like the design of the monster. This monster didn't make any sense to me because her motif was that she was a talker or whatever. That's why there's a big-ass mouth on her thing.
Mm-hmm.
But all of her... Like, all the aesthetic was glasses. Did that make sense to anyone else?
I don't know. Maybe it's some Japan thing.
Maybe. I did kind of think it was funny that the mecha went on strike like that. That was kind of funny, I guess.
Very Go Busters.
Yeah, I'm like, for what it was, I guess. Yeah, I also enjoyed that they pulled out the Kakuranger shuriken, too. I like that, too. And I like that... Fuka and Nagi were in the cockpit, duplicated alone. I liked that. That was good too.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like the very end scene where she was trying to
Kyuemon.
Yeah, when she was trying to sway him to the dark side.
Yeah, the one thing is keeping me interested in the show, just a fragment of a fragment, are the villains and Star Ninja. That's it.
Pretty much. Victor, thoughts?
I enjoyed this episode a lot. I really I liked the first like 7 or 10 episodes of this show, and then I've just been like up and down with like hating it and loving it. So I really like this one.
It's like a roller coaster of a sin.
I like that because Ray was calling this a Kasumi episode, but it's really kind of like everyone is off doing their own thing. And I like that everyone kind of what little character they have is all enhanced with everyone. Like they put the smart characters in the courtroom, and they leave the dumb characters to kind of like handle this entire battle by themselves, and they figure out the whole duplication thing, which is cool. I don't remember what Takaharu was doing in the entire episode, but I liked the courtroom stuff. That was really cool, how it was like an illusion at like the park. I love seeing the mecha fight, Rodeo Maru and Shinobi Maru.
Wait, what? You liked a mecha fight?
Oh, yeah, this is the best mecha fight I've seen in a long time, by the way.
See, okay, like, what I really liked, too, like, when they were fighting and you could see them outside the window, mm-hmm. when they were in the conference or whatever they were having, I liked that part a lot.
Yeah, that was awesome. If Yakumo had used some magic, best episode ever. So, yeah, I love this episode. I wish it just had magic. So, it was pretty cool.
Magic, fuck yeah.
I will say, and I'll say this every week until it happens, they need a canon. Because, like, episode 14, I didn't say, it was a Takaharu and Fuka episode, and then at the last minute, Star and Yellow were like, hey, let's lead this finisher. And I'm like, why? What the hell? They just need a... God, I hate every... It's like the same thing or different thing every time. And it's so dumb, they need just a cannon or something. Jesus.
I'm sure they'll win eventually.
It's the finisher for Yofamaru.
It's the what?
Yofamaru.
Well, I am.
The UFO. Yeah, that's the cannon that the UFO.
No, I mean, like, on the ground before the monster grows. They need, like, something. Because they can't put their weapons together, so they need, like, a cannon of some sort.
Oh.
Yeah.
You didn't like the Super Sentai Ball of Light attack?
What?
What?
All right, moving on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Adam's turn to talk.
I love like.
I could swear that there was like a combination attack that happened that caused like a ball of light to happen, and then Fuka, or was that?
Episode I mean, 14. there is, they do a finisher, but it's just like, let's all shoot at the same time, or you shoot first, then we shoot. There's no, yeah. like, unifying, like, thing, you know?
He's talking about bring your weapons together and shoot it in a cannon, yeah. that kind of thing.
That's the coolest part. Like, I love when they pull weapons together. I don't like when they just, like, the quintuple slash and samurai, eh.
That was kind of perfect. You know?
But
the fight just...
Mm-hmm. But, okay, with this episode, since when does a Mechazord, when does, like, any mecha have a quote-unquote fingerprint?
Now, I love
because
that.
Because of Sentai?
I died when I saw that, and I was like, they made it have a real fingerprint? What the fuck?
Since when can mecha enter into contracts? This ain't reality. Like,
what? The whole contract thing of, like, when Star was, like, trying to do his thing, it was really weird. He was like, I can't stand this anymore. I'm just going to do it. And he does it, and then he turns evil, like, in a rapid second. I'm like, you're a dumbass. overall, I liked... I liked her skills in the courtroom. I forget who it was.
Kazumi.
The pink one. What?
Kazumi.
Yeah.
It's even harder to learn the names of the Rangers when you don't like the Sentai.
Yeah.
Yes. This is why. the pink one. The pink one was the one that was like the coolest in this whole episode. If I had to give a positive spin to this. But to me, right now, this whole Sentai series as a whole is like in the 9th level of hell, the 12 levels that Dante wrote out in my comedy.
No, listen. That's how you know a Sentai is bad, is when you try to say something positive about it, if you preface it with, if I had to say something nice, it would be...
Yeah.
That's like the smartest thing Adam's ever said.
It's like Freaky Friday. I mean, this is how we were when we were reviewing Super Mega Force. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like a lot of the nice things I can say about it is the stuff they're going to use for Power Rangers eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say.
The Sentai makes me want to go all high school emo again and start cutting.
And I hate to make this comparison, but watching the Ninja is actually harder than it was to watch Gosager. Because Gosager, I watched it all in a row, and it was over in a couple days. Well, as I'm watching Shinny Ninja, and it's continuously every week.
It's like slowly ripping off a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I used to race home.
It's a never-ending nightmare.
I used to home from work for Sentai, and here I forget about episodes for weeks.
I actually rather watch Operation Overdrive than watch the Ninja.
No.
Victor, I totally agree with you, because that's how I was with Gokaiger and GoBusters and even Kyoruger. I was like wanting to watch as soon as it was out. And this, I'm like, whatever, I'll do it for the grid. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, listeners. I hope you don't love the Ninja too much, but I don't really. Okay. I guess that's it for Ninja 15. I assume next week we'll get to 16. I mean, not next week, but next time we'll get to 16 and 17. And, yeah. So, up next, a Sentai we actually enjoy... Cocky Ranger, yay!
But not this episode, then.
Thank God.
Not this episode so much, but it still had its charms. All right, so let's continue on our journey down the Cocky Ranger Yellow Brick Road. Here is episode 4. So let's go backwards. Cody, what did you think? You're what the fucking thoughts?
I enjoyed it. It was like kind of watching a train wreck.
Actually, yes. I agree.
Yeah, it did, and I forgot this about old Sentais, how they always make the Yellow Ranger be like a glutton, kind of. And the opening of this episode made me fucking hungry for curry. Like, every time they show somebody eating in Sentai, the food always looks amazing. Have you noticed that?
Me too, and I've never had curry. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, mmm.
It's amazing.
Chili.
Yeah.
Good.
The Monster of the Week was really neat, I guess.
Neat.
I watched this episode when I was half awake, so the only notes that I wrote down were I literally just wrote down the phrase, the announcer. the narrator guy in the beginning. I love him. He's my favorite character. And
What is his name?
I think it's just the announcer.
Yeah. Oh, it's just the announcer? Oh, okay.
That's a very Japanese thing to do, to just call him the announcer.
I know it was only like 1 week ago, but I'm... excuse me. I know it was just like 1 week ago, but I'm still got through using the Nekomaru because I just love it so much. It's like the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, and I want it.
We should get like a little car, like an action, not like an action, like a Hot Wheel.
I'm sure there was a toy of it made or something.
Google to eBay.
Yeah.
All right, Adam.
Let's see. With this episode, I liked how it continued on with the story from the previous episode of, oh my god, you stole the scrolls, because I can't remember the name, because I lost my notes too when my Chrome crashed. But it was, I liked how all of the individual like pilot mechas were sucked into the thing, and then they created the whole mystery of the bombing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I just watched this too. like when they're sucked into the trash can. I like how the trash can went boom.
You liked how the Shogun Zords were sucked into the garbage can.
Yes.
When did that happen? What?
That happened in the Megazord battle. Happened in Season 3 of Mighty Morphin 2.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. That.
I like that. I like how they turned off all the... how the kid knew that there were yokai. But other than that, it was a pretty okay episode. I mean, it's an episode, it's the fourth episode in. They're not getting anything new. It's okay. Just like, okay.
Okay. Ray, please save us.
Okay. Well, for those who don't know, this episode featured the garbage mouth monster from Season 3 Mighty Morphin. This episode also featured the ninja suits for the first time for black and yellow, I think, or black and blue. It's something like that. I just liked it.
I know. I saw
cool.
Black. I remember seeing the black or black for the first time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked seeing the Dororos dressed up as police officers. It was kind of adorable.
I like when foot soldiers dress up as things.
I liked seeing that bar again. Every time I see that bar, I get the villain feels. Also, the what the fuck moments to the extreme was when Sasuke turned into a fly in a toy airplane. What the hell was that?
There was a lot of what the fuck.
Also, the other end of transformations. Like when Jiraiya turned into a bus or something.
What was that? That's a technique, though, right? That they use?
I don't know. It's
I think so, it's like the ninja technique, like they turn into shit.
It's just so random. I'm like, what?
This is when Cocker Ranger begins to get a little more random, yeah. Because I've seen up to episode 10, and Cocker Ranger does tend to get pretty random.
I could see that right now. I liked that the other Cocker Rangers kind of put Sasuke in his place when he's like, oh, I saved your asses. You better treat me good. And they're like friggin' massage him and they go along with it. And then he falls asleep and they just drive away. Okay, now for the bad. A garbage theme monster disguised as a policeman is kind of random. I mean, all the other ones kind of made sense, like the cabbie monster disguised as a cabbie. And the Kappa disguises the creepy guy or whatever.
With the cucumbers.
Yes, with the cucumbers. Sasuke was kind of emo to this episode. He was like, oh, what do they need me for? Blah, 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 when he was with that random kid. I'm like, also, why do we really need that little kid with the Canada shirt for? I mean, we could have had this episode... We could have had this episode done... say exactly the same without the kid. They kind of shoehorned that kid in for some reason. Yeah, kid show, whatever. I'm also kind of sad we didn't get any like foreshadowing for the next set of baddies because the show has kind of been set by that in a sense for the past four episodes. So I'm kind of sad we didn't get that like foreshadowing for the next bad guys. But I do know that the next set of bad guys is Sea Monster and Brick Bully from season 3. So yeah, that's gonna be cool. To review.
Yeah, in the preview there was Brick Bully, right? Mm-hmm. For the next one, yeah. 5. Exciting. Speaking of what you said about the cop being a garbage monster, I noticed that if you look on his little head, it says jailhouse slightly.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? It says it on his forehead when he's a monster.
Yeah, and I was like, that's weird.
It says it on it says that on season 3 too.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I never knew what that meant, I guess, as a kid either, but I guess it's still kind of a connection to him being cop, I guess. I don't know. Also, seeing him in human form still makes me want to barf. I think my what the fuck moment was when, I think it was Sosuke who did it, when he dressed up as the creepy antelope clown guy.
Oof.
That part, when he went into the bar and he went to rescue them.
Gun from Hawaii.
That was disgusting. Not disgusting, but it was like, what is that?
Hey.
I was like, why is he an antelope?
Yes, that was quite creepy.
Yeah, totally creepy. That's what I wrote. Creepy antelope clown. That's what I wrote. And my last thing that I want to touch on, I guess, one of my favorite moments was part of the mecha battle, and there's a part where the monster hits Muteki Shogun with his sword or something, and he just kind of stands there like, fuck you, bro. Like, it didn't even hurt him at all.
Mm.
And that was my favorite part, because he just stood there like, did that happen in Power Rangers? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that did, when Garbage Man was attacking the Shogun Megazord.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened, I remember.
Cool, I like that moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, finish this off, Victor.
Yeah, this episode is, like, average.
Filler.
We don't see... Because these guys were just, like, street shitheads. They didn't really have, like, lives or jobs, and now they're ninjas. And they just have full mastery of transformation jutsus. You know, we never saw, like, them, like, training or practicing or, like, reading scrolls or anything. So Sasuke's like, huh, I need to go rescue them. I know. First I'll turn into a bug, and then while I'm still in bug form, I'll turn into, like, a drag queen antelope yokai and totally blend in. And then I'm gonna turn into a plane, and he didn't, like, say anything. He just, like, made some finger symbols, and that was it. And it's like, no, you can't do that when you've been a ninja for 2 weeks. Like, no. Where's the, like, you know? Like, that was just not set up at all.
It's very early Sentai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I knew this was going to be the Shogun Mecha whatever gets put together for the first time, and that was also kind of thrown out. Like, I wasn't paying attention, because I, spoiler alert, I wasn't paying attention that hard. But they're just in the middle of the fight with the five individual ones, and they're like, let's put them together. And I'm like, how do you even know that you can do that? Like, why, what? You just do it, and then it happens. That was kind of random.
Say, like, I feel like at some point, didn't they, I don't know if it was Sentai or Power Rangers, but didn't someone say that when they get into the suit, they just automatically know what to do?
I say that with certain things. Okay. But,
yeah, like if you're in the suit, you know how to pilot a Zord, because obviously the Mighty Morphin Rangers, when they get in their Zords, they know how to pilot a Megazord.
David Dumpster, hello, they said it was second nature, though.
Yeah, second nature, there you go.
But I mean, it's one thing to just know, like, I understand they should know how to combine the mecha, but, like, just even someone, like, where's their mentor, I guess is what I'm asking. Didn't they have, like, a guy for one scene?
Cowboy guy? He was in the first three episodes. I don't know who he was in this episode.
If he had been like, hey, Kaku Rangers, you need to combine your Shogun mechas. Okay, man, we'll do it. Oh,
well, isn't he more of a handler of Tsuruhime than anything?
I don't know.
So he's like the mentor G?
Kinda, yeah. Like,
When Jiraiya says, I don't speak Japanese, that's, like, my favorite. Like, I've seen that meme before. I love that, because it's total. Like, it's true. That actor didn't speak a word of English or Japanese. So that was awesome. I love that.
I like Jiraiya.
Yeah, he's, like, the only thing keeping me alive in this show.
That's the only thing?
I mean, it's pretty cool. My whole, like, last time we talked, I was, like, oh, super high on Dragon Ball. And I'm kind of, like, off the Dragon Ball thing, and I'm off the Chinese mythology thing. I think I want to watch Die Ranger, but I can't find it subbed anywhere. But right now, I'm just...
Oh, Die Ranger is so good.
Like, Nin Ninja is making me hate ninjas, like, even more. So, like, Kaku Ranger, I'm, like, going into it with this, like, stink of Nin Ninja on it, so...
Well, no, don't let that... Don't let Nin Ninja poison Kaku Ranger for you.
I'm trying not to.
Victor, I'm telling you this, like, as a friend. Shut your fucking mouth.
Okay,
that's it then. So next week we... Next time, sorry, not next week. Next episode, we review Kaku Ranger Episode 5, which has another random kid in it that probably doesn't need to be there.
Oh, but boy.
This should be fun, right? So, and yeah, we'll continue with our ninja reviews, and we will actually have Ray's Power Ranger episode next time, which was Catastrophe, right?
Catastrophe.
Yes, so that's exciting. Before we... I didn't collect questions because of our guests and such, but I saw a question on Facebook earlier today, and I thought it was interesting. First of all, can anyone explain to me what the Suicide Squad thing is?
For the DC comic movie?
Yeah.
Like, God, okay, all right. Basically, Suicide Squad is a movie coming out that's about, like, a bunch of Batman villains, kind of. And the reason it's going to be awful is because it's, like, they're designing characters like it's 2007 in Hot Topic.
I've seen that. Okay, yeah. I've seen
the Jared Leto's Joker.
Like, Jared Leto's Joker is covered in tattoos and, like, he has damage tattooed in his forehead. Like, shut the fuck up. How edgy are you trying to be?
Oh my God. Okay, so the reason why I ask is because I wanted to ask this question. Because I saw this on Facebook and they asked the question, if you could put any five villains into a Suicide Squad-like team, who would they be? And I thought it would be awesome to ask you guys that same question, only with Power Ranger villains.
You can't spring this on us. I gotta do research.
Oh, too fucking bad. I just did it. So think about it for a second. I mean, just pick one. You just pick one, and we'll, you know, make a thing of it.
Okay. The pink haired one from Time Force.
Madeira.
Astronema.
Camille. Camille.
So
we're going with
all
the villains. I see.
Chennaio 7.
But they gotta have, like, Trakina? A man who's, like, their Wrangler.
Trakina.
I'm gonna be straight and pick a man. Hang on, give me a second.
Grum. Be their big.
Grum.
Like,
of all the goddamn male villains you could pick.
No, I want it to be like, okay, it's a full female squad of villains, and then there's one male on it, but he's like their bitch.
Okay.
Like, he does everything they say.
Yeah, what
okay, so,
was
that would be a fucking, oh my god. I'm awful with names from Dino Charge.
Oh, Sledge? Fury.
Yeah, Sledge.
Oh,
Sledge.
I think Fury's more of a bitch than Sledge.
I feel like Wrench is more of a bitch.
Fury's pretty much of a bitch, too. Let's be real.
Because he's jelly and he wants that Sledge dick.
Ooh.
Is it Sledge on up colored, Sledge dick?
Or is it green colored? Okay, that went too far. Sorry.
It's green, but it has it has the armor on it. Like the rest of his body.
You're all pigs. You're all disgusting.
Can we have Jellica in that squad, too? I love Jellica.
Who? Oh.
She's
from
Jungle Fury. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted your opinion on that, but first I had to have you explain to me what the hell it was. So there we go. There we go with that. All right, so I guess this is reaching the end.
Want it to end.
Oh, no. So let's plug it in. Let's go with Victor first. What are you working on? on? What's happening? Tell us all about it.
Did I mention last episode that the Modern Gaffa was getting like torn inside out and put back together?
I don't remember.
Modern Gaffa was getting fisted?
No. What? Oh my god. We moved host and everything, so we had to like remake the whole website, and it looks beautiful now, and it's so much better, and all the old articles are gone, but we're slowly going to start re-adding new ones. So that's cool.
I'm really stressed about that.
That was like the worst week of my life, and like the day before the day before I was going to do it, I like discovered something, and I was like, fuck, I can't do it, and it was like a whole thing, but I did it anyway, and yeah. We're looking for a Dragon Ball Super reviewer, like super desperately. So if you like Dragon Ball, please, for the love of God, email me.
I have somebody for you.
Oh, please send him my info. Or I'll talk to you afterwards. Anyway, yeah, Dragon Ball Super. We're technically looking for a Yu-Gi-Oh person. I don't give a shit right now. So yeah, that's the Modern Gaffa is on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Tumblr, moderngaffa.com. Hit us up. We are the number one source for all things Saturday morning. Power Rangers, Marvel, Star Wars, Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, Digimon, Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon, Yu-Gi-Oh, all kinds of cool shit. Yeah.
Ding.
Plug a dub dub.
Raymond.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Okay then, Jody. You can follow me on
It's okay, I'll take it.
You can follow me on YouTube at Chattery22. You could follow me on Tumblr at Chattery22. You could follow me on Twitter at _Chattery22. You could follow my Facebook page, Ranger Enemy Number 1, and you can check out the Morphling Sea database with all 22 seasons of information.
Ding!
Cody?
Whoops, I was muted. Commentaries every Tuesday. I'm actually about to film one after we get off Skype. My YouTube channel is TokuFan555, TokuFan, 5, 3 times. From that channel, you can find my Tumblr and my Twitter and stuff, and I just reached 2,000 subscribers as we're recording this episode.
Yay!
Congratulations!
Good work.
Kudos.
Cool.
And Adam.
You can find me on Twitter at @Fury_Crimson, or you could just go to facebook.com/ForTheLoveOfRangers, or find For Love Rangers on Facebook, and you could also find me at on Tumblr with the same username. That'd be great. So that's from at.
Yay. Regarding Morphin Legacy, you can find everything to follow Morphin Legacy related on the left-hand side of Morphin Legacy's website. It has all the little points under the Morphin Legacy network. Like I said, Tiny Chat is gone. It is no more. I will never be doing that again.
Rest in peace. Mm.
Better news, though, Morphin Legacy Radio is back, like I said in the beginning of the show, so listen to that. The link is also on morphinlegacy.com, or you can Google Morphin Legacy Radio to pull up that way, too. So you can listen to that in your car, on your phone, on the computer, whatever you want to do. It pretty much plays on everything. So that's awesome. Listen to that. Regarding our 5th birthday, which just passed, there's a lot of cool stuff relating to our staff. So there's an in-depth interview, thanks to the Green Knight, that interviews all of my staff members about fun stuff, their time here and their favorites and stuff like that. And it's also included in there, there's a video interview with me that asks me questions about the start of Morphin Legacy, my inspirations, all that kind of stuff, if you care to listen to that. Care to listen to me talk about myself for 25 minutes?
Yeah, you diva.
I know, right? If that's what you want to listen to. It is a pretty interesting story, if you want to. But, yeah. So there's those things. Don't forget to check out the Ranger of the Month, the live stream on the 27th. And,
Yes.
And once again, I want to thank Karen Ashley and the guys from Ranger Stop for joining us. Everybody say clap for them. Yay!
Yay! That was so much fun.
So much fun. I loved it.
All right, so tune in to episode 67, which will be coming in a week and a half or so. All right, guys, I guess that's it. So say goodbye.
Bye.
That was weakness.
Kiss and make up.
Thank you for listening to The Grid. Be sure to follow all of the hosts on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, or on their individual sites described within the description. On behalf of all of the great hosts, we hope you listen in next week. Thank you, and may the power protect you.
この番組は楽しい時を作る企業バンダイとご覧のスポンサーの提供でお送りしました。